That's because the Code of Audit Practice changed from 1st of April 2020.
It's on. Is it on? Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Code of Audit Practice changed from April 2020, and the significant change around that was the work that we took to assess the council's arrangements for securing value for money and its use of resources. We've mentioned this before, but we'll just summarise what that means. We've moved away from a very light-touch review of value for money arrangements, which resulted in a binary qualified, unqualified opinion, which we deliver alongside the financial statements audit, to a more rounded assessment and commentary on the three court criteria around value for money that's specified by the National Audit Office. And those areas are around financial sustainability, governance, and improving economy efficiency and effectiveness. For 2021, we also added a consideration around the council's response to the COVID pandemic. And as I said, moving away from that qualified and unqualified opinion, the new arrangements result in auditors' ability to make recommendations based on the findings from that review. And those recommendations are, there are various levels of recommendations ranging from the lowest level, which is an improvement recommendation, which is not saying that there's anything wrong, but that we're bringing best practice examples or just suggesting areas where the council could improve, all the way up from key recommendations to statutory recommendations, which require the council to publicly respond to those, and obviously those are more serious in nature. And those recommendations themselves can be made at any time during the audit now. We don't just wait to the presentation of the report. Certainly, where there are significant issues, they would be flagged and brought to your attention at a much earlier stage. So hopefully that sets the theme of the work that we've done. The report's quite lengthy, so I'll just give you the key headlines. Mainly that it's a very positive report. The council should be pleased with what we're saying here. In all of those areas that we've covered, those three core criteria, we've gained satisfaction that the council does have appropriate arrangements in place to deliver value for money. We have made two recommendations, and they are at that lower level, the improvement recommendations. And firstly, the first of those is around financial sustainability, and that centres around the council's current medium-term financial strategy, which, as members may be aware, does have an extensive use of reserves to fill funding gaps and address pressures that the council faces over the short to medium term. What we have said within the report is that the council is currently in a very strong financial position. It's got a very strong track record of delivering savings and achieving financial performance. But obviously, there are challenges that the council does face from a financial perspective. And as it stands, we believe that the use of reserves, whilst still maintaining an appropriate level of reserves over that medium-term financial strategy period, is something that the council needs to start to look at and to develop savings plans, efficiencies to manage that over the medium term. The second improvement recommendation we identified was in the governance area, and that links to processes for risk management, where we feel that a best practice example where risk registers are presented, that there could be improvements to allocate risk to named officers, and also to demonstrate the impact of mitigating actions that the council's taken in terms of comparison to the level of risk pre action and post those mitigations. So, as I say, a very positive report. No issues, no other issues that we want to bring to your attention today. The report is a public-facing document and was published on the council website for local people to see. And it also brings together and concludes our audit for the year and confirms that post the last time we attended this committee in September, we did deliver an unqualified opinion on the financial statements. It was a little later than planned due to having to wait for assurances from the pension fund auditor, but there were no significant changes or issues since we presented our audit finding report. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you for that, Roddy. And I'd like to say well done, thanks to the team in terms of the ESBC for, one, working with the external auditors to put together this report in terms of the time taken to give the information for it, but then also on what is generally a very positive positive finding with the two recommendations in the financial sustainability and governance areas. I think overall, really positive audit. What I'm certainly looking forward to as well is hopefully seeing the progress made in those two areas in terms of the improvements when it comes back over the next financial year. Are there any questions from any councillors? Councillor Grover.
Thank you. Not a question for the auditors, I guess, a question for the council. You mentioned that this is published on the council's webpage. Can I just confirm when this was published on the council's webpage?
It will,
so it hasn't been done yet. Thank you, Lisa.
I think it is published in the documents as well for tonight's scrutiny meeting on the website and available to public through there as well.
No, that's it. It's particularly, you know, public don't tend to go to committee meetings side of the council webpage, but they will look at this if it's published and they notify that it's been published on the council.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions, anybody? No. In which case, then we'll move on to item number six, the internal audit progress report. So, at which point, I will hand over to Ruby to present the report to the committee.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take our progress report as read. It's pleasing. Members will see that we've concluded the last review from the 2021 internal audit plan, and that was facilities management. We've made a considerable amount of progress with the 21-22 plan, and since our progress report was written, we have also issued the business continuity final report, and that's been issued with full assurance. Members will also note the recommendation tracking section at the end, so before every audit committee we will review the outstanding actions, and that's pleasing to note that it has been action taken in that respect. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you for that. Are there any questions from any councillors? No? Perfect. Thank you very much for that. Feel free to stay for the rest of the meeting, or if you'd like to hang up the Zoom, feel free to.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
And that's the same for yourselves, Steve. External as well. So moving on to item number seven, the revenue and capital outturn report for quarter two, and which one I'll hand over to Lisa.
Thank you, Chair. So this report covers the quarter two forecast position for the current financial year, covering revenue and capital budget, treasury management activities, as well as a summary of the key the corporate and strategic risk facing the authority. Section four of the report covers the revenue budget. And members will recall that the budget for the current year was balanced, taking into account £1.1 million from reserves. This included a corporately held provision of £1.3 million against estimated COVID pressures, recognising that there is a high degree of uncertainty in this regard. At this halfway stage of the year, the report continues to highlight significant forecast COVID-19 related pressures on service budgets. However, after taking into account the corporately held COVID provision. The overall forecast position at 42 means there is a reduction in the need to draw down from reserves of 0.7 million. Overall, the forecast outlook is for the year is better than was anticipated when the budget was set. This is largely due to the vaccine, the success of the vaccine rollout in terms of reopening the economy and preventing further restrictions and lockdowns. Obviously, it remains to be seen whether this continues for the remainder of the year. However, the rollout of the booster vaccinations is likely to be a major factor. The most significant changes in the overall forecast since quarter one relate to forecast windfall income, particularly from recycling income due to an uplift in commodity prices, as well as a very positive performance during the quarter associated with leisure provision delivered by everyone active. Narrative in respect to the most significant variations is shown in paragraph 4.2 in the normal manner. Bearing in mind that the budget provision for COVID pressures is out corporately and reported at paragraph 4.3. As usual, there is a full schedule of variances attached to Appendix A to the report. Section 5 covers treasury management, and at the end of September, our investment stood at just over 60 million, with a rate of return at 0.06%, which reflects the market at present. As usual, there is a full schedule of investments attached to Appendix B, and external borrowing remains at 11 million. During the course of the quarter, we received the 23rd and final dividend against the original 2 million investment from the Icelandic bank KSF during quarter, resulting in overall recovery of 87% in line with the allowance already provided for within the accounts. Overall, treasury management activities have been in line with the improved treasury management and strategy. Section 6 of the report covers the capital programme and reports expenditure against the programme of 9.4 million. There is a small cost increase reported against the fleet replacement programme, and the report recommends Cabinet approving funding for that in year capital receipts in that additional cost. The report, paragraph 6.3, also highlights the small capital receipt. This has been received during the quarter of this, in line with the relevant approved CDR. And then finally, Section 8 covers risk management. And Appendix C to the report is a schedule of most significant corporate strategic risk facing the authority, together with measures being taken to manage these risks. There are a number of reports set out, a number of recommendations set out in the report for Cabinet to consider. I'm happy to take any questions for you, Chair.
Thank you, Lisa. Are there any questions on item 7, the revenue capital and outlook report? Yeah, Councillor Locke.
Apologies, Lisa, I'm unfamiliar with your reporting structure, so I may be about to ask a rather daft question. In the outturn report, there are a number of places where it refers to employee costs dash vacancy factor. I was just wondering if you could tell me what that actually means.
So within our budgeting, we make an allowance for a 2% vacancy factor in relation to staffing. So where a particular service is fully staffed and is expected to remain so throughout the year, and effectively that will create a cost pressure in that area. But overall, across the whole budget, it should work out.
Are there any other questions for any councillors? No? In which case, then I'll move on to item 8, the quarterly performance report, quarter 2, James.
Thanks, Chair. So, yeah, this is the corporate plan performance report looking at the council's progress towards achieving its objectives up to the end of the second quarter of this financial year. So, as always, I'll just provide a quick summary of the headline figures and the key points arising. as I hope you can see from the report and circulated numbers, again, suggest that overall the corporate performance continues to be very positive. So just to summarise, the analysis shows that out of the 129 targets that we have in total across the whole corporate plan, there are 102 of those that have been marked as green. There are just 4 that have been highlighted as amber, and just the 1 that's been highlighted as red. Although there are 21 that are not yet due to be reported, so those will of course become live later on in the financial year. And there's one that was previously agreed to be deferred. So if we look at the 107 live targets, this equates to the council being 95.33% green overall, just 3.74% amber, and just 0.93% red. If we look specifically at the value for money priority, which is of course the focus of this committee, numbers are similarly positive at 93.94% green, 4.55% amber, and just 1.52% red. Of course, there's further breakdown on the detail list in the table, as you can see across the pages 6 and 7 of the main report. And those few targets that I've referred to that have been highlighted as amber or red, they're all detailed in form section 5, which you can see from page 8. But all the detail, as always, is shown throughout Appendix 1, the usual benchmarkings in Appendix 2. There are a couple of indicators that are there to be updated, and they're shown in sections 5.6 and 5.7, so they're for Cabinet to consider as the report goes forward. But as I say, overall, it's a good position to be in again, once again, in terms of our corporate performance. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you for that. Are there any questions from any councillors in regards to the quarterly performance report? No. In which case, then, we will move on to item 9, the Waste Management Review Report. So at this point, if I could ask James to give the very top line overview to the report, and then I'll hand over to Chris and Phil, Councillor Sylvester and Hudson, the lead members of the report, and to go into some more detail on it.
That's good, Chair. So as we know, we've been undertaking a review of waste management. The three key themes of the review were really to understand the value for money, the delivery of those services, also looking at the future of how and where we dispose of waste, but also to understand any key challenges to recycling and any strategies that are there to address those challenges and pressures. So throughout the review, we liaised with colleagues from the waste team, we considered research from the existing reports and some desktop exercises. So the outputs of that review are all set out throughout the report. In terms of the high-level findings, I think the subgroup of the committee considered that the financial information that we've highlighted shows that the council is generally more expensive than other local authorities, including those other authorities that are in service in-house as well. I think one of the key challenges was around correct use of recycling bins in terms of communications and going to the containers, the various containers that we have, and the contamination that arises from that. So there's a view that would continue to be addressed through education campaigns and communication campaigns on those issues. And that's something that the other committee have included a specific recommendation. So I should just add that the other committee undertaking a similar review. We would focus more on the sort of the environment side of things, what we have got to focus on. Value for money. Their report is a draft that was due to be considered at the meeting yesterday, so that's been attached to this as an appendix. I think that's been deferred by that committee, so they will be considering that in their next meeting in January. The last conclusion recommendation on ours was around saying that we've got a good understanding of the service and key decisions taken, but those key decisions should address what looks to be a relatively high cost of the current service. So two recommendations to consider, which is analysing why other similar authorities appear to have a lower service delivery cost, but also to investigate any alternative delivery mechanisms for the service, but also any alternative charging regimes for elements of the current provision, for example, around green waste. The other committee's report provides some similar recommendations around again, doing a review into charging for garden waste, looking at potential for suspensions of green waste collections in the winter months, and also to look at methods of communication around those issues relating to recycling. So some quite similar recommendations that do sort of complement each other. The view is that once these reports have been approved, assuming they are by the two committees, that they will be brought together and taken forward as a sort of single piece by the two committee chairmen as it goes forward into council. And that's a quick highlight of the sort of the technical side of things that I've presented from the sort of group members that they want to talk.
Thank you for that. Is there anything, Councillor Hudson or Sylvester, you'd like to add on to that?
Not really. I think it's a comprehensive report. It shows you how we do business at the moment, and it also suggesting ways in which we might be able to improve. If we do charge for green waste, obviously it makes us puts us a bit higher up in the league of councils in the way in which we give costs. I don't think by suspending brown bins in December and February doesn't cost us that much to do that. So I don't think that's one that I would go with. But I think if you read the report, you know, we'll just answer questions. Everything that you need to know is in the report.
I think so. Firstly, thank you to both yourselves, to James, but also Councillor Sankey for the work before he left this scrutiny committee that was put into this and bringing this report here in its final form. Are there any questions from councillors here? Councillor Locke.
I was very impressed by the two reports when I read them together, but there was one aspect that worried me a little bit, and that was related to recommendation 8.1.2, garden waste bins collection suspended December and or January. My concern was related to the way in which the research was done. They'd considered fly tipping over the year, but they hadn't considered that if they take the waste bin collection away in December or January, the fly tipping you're going to get is a heck of a lot of dead Christmas trees littering East Staffordshire. I really don't think that recommendation should be in there until someone's considered the impact on fly tipping that could occur as a result of that. And they could do that by looking at the other authorities that have either charged for waste bin collection or removed it during the winter month.
Councillor Hudson. Chair, I think that's something that needs to be discussed at the other scrutiny committee, because in their report, not in ours.
I did feel a bit unfair mentioning it, but at the scrutiny committee yesterday decided not to discuss it until you had your meeting today, so I felt I needed to mention it at some point.
There's comments have been noted, and I don't have to make sure they get passed on to that committee as well. Are there any other comments or questions on the board? Councillor Gregory?
So when it was suggested that we did a big waste management review for council service, and I think I suggested it's group really actually there should be two parallel streams of work done, one through this committee and one through the other committee, because it was such a huge service to look at in terms of making a policy suggestion moving forward, and also because in terms of where we are, cost for the council unit, cost we were in upper quartiles compared to other councils. So it needs to be looked at. However, it's been unfortunate that the main recommendation that's come forward for both reports is just to charge for green waste, because that effectively is just the easy, quick, simple solution. The Conservative group voted against that 18 months ago when it came to the Conservative group, and they were very much against it. So both reports suggest that a further review or further investigation is carried out. That investigation has already been done effectively. The council did it 18 months ago when the Conservative group voted against the green waste charge. So it's disappointing that it's come forward again. It's not surprising that it's come forward again, because clearly the council is in a budget position, as we've heard from the auditors this evening, whereby it needs to identify savings or increase revenue to stop the aggressive use of reserves moving forward. So clearly the council needs to make a quick win on this. It won't, even if scrutiny vote for it and give cabinets the opportunity to say, oh, well, scrutiny want this, then of course we're going to put it in place because that's what scrutiny wants. It won't take place, I guess, from the start of next year, so we'll still have to use this until any change that the council implements from this is effective. But I can't vote for it tonight on that basis, because it's just a simple solution that's come forward from the review, and that's no discredit to the to the working groups that have taken part in this and the investigations they've been able to come forward with and the recommendations they've produced. But it's just a simple thing. It's just a quick win. Let's just charge for green waste. And that sorts it all out, apparently. I don't think it does. And that aspect for me is quite disappointing.
Thank you very much for that, Councillor Grosvenor. Are there any other comments or questions from councillors? Councillor Chowdhury.
Thank you, Chair. I think the raise hand function is not coming up in the on the Zoom for some reason, but certainly on my option. So you know, the green waste as it is, my understanding is obviously we get some kind of recycling credits for the green waste. So there is that about there's some income stream from the green waste, and also if we were to look into the charging, and I just want to understand a bit more, and you know, before we agree to this recommendation, is that not everyone kind of puts out a brown bin every week, especially some of the sort of inner wards, more built up areas. So how would that work going forward? Are we potentially looking at charging everyone regardless of whether they produce any garden waste or not, or is it going to be based on the collection basis?
It's going to be on an opt-in basis, so if you don't want that service, you don't have to have it and you don't have to pay for it. Everybody won't be automatically charged.
I think if that recommendation did go ahead, though, I believe the details and practicality of it is something that will come out from the further review by the waste team, rather than necessarily the functions of this scrutiny paper, and would have to be considered in the realms of that usage piece there. So I don't necessarily think, I think it's a good point to raise, but I don't necessarily think it's a barrier to the recommendation within this report. Are there any other questions from councillors? Councillor Fletcher.
Yes, if we do start charging for green waste, isn't there a danger that it's just going to be stuck in the grid? And what effect will that have on the environment? Would it make it worse, better, or no difference?
Again, I think that is something that would have to come out within that detailed review of that, if the council did want to bring it in, and to see what the impact has been at other councils where they have implemented that. But I think it is a valid consideration to consider for that. Any other questions?
Yeah, just to clarify then, that if this scrutiny committee tonight votes for this, then basically this scrutiny committee won't be the one that's carrying out the review of green waste charging. That will be carried out by the waste management team, and the report will no doubt be provided to the cabinet to then decide whether they're going to charge for green waste. Is that correct?
Well, I imagine so. The ultimate decision was the cabinet committee not here to develop a policy, but to suggest and scrutinise.
No, I just want to make sure members are aware that there might be some confusion that report is due to come back to this committee, but it's not. Once this is approved, then that's it. The report will go elsewhere for decision making.
That is how the council functions, yeah.
I know how the council functions, but I think some members might be a bit confused.
Thank you for clarifying for us, Councillor Roper. Are there any other comments or questions on this report? No? At which point then I would propose that we accept the report and the recommendations within this report to go forward to cabinet. Thank you. Councillor Hudson will second it. At which point then so we move to the vote. So all those in favour. Any against? And any abstentions?
Yep. Thank you. So that is carried then. So in terms of the next steps then on this report, so the other half of it, the other scrutiny committee, that will be voted on in their January meeting, at which point then the two reports will be put together and taken forward to Cabinet by myself and Councillor Wallman from the other committee as chair towards Cabinet in, I believe, February, March time. So thank you very much for that. So then moving on to item 10, the scrutiny review progress reports, at which point I'd like to invite the scrutiny lead to give an update on the reports. And so I will start in the review of IT services. So we have a scoping paper that we have now agreed as a group that has gone forward. We are planning to hold a meeting early into the new year where we'll meet with the IT teams. There's also some data that we want to collect across the council in terms of what IT systems we use, as well as talking then to the head of services across the council in terms of what are their dependencies in the day-to-day of that. So very much in progress, and hopefully by the next meeting in February we'll have a decent chunk of that data gathering complete on all those. I'll go on then to the update on the mayoralty. So, Councillor Grosvenor.
Yes, thanks. So we had a Zoom meeting, as you're aware, last week. We looked at a report that had been produced for us, a report that needed some more detail, I think it's fair to say. We went through a number of aspects of the reports, and there's some work to be done, I guess, to fill out the reports and work around what alternative models relevant to the council in terms of whether we reduce, get rid of a mayoralty or not, how we do that from a constitutional point of view. There's some more analysis to do around some of the mileage, for example, that the mayor's undertaken in their journeys. And also we're considering whether or not we are considering questions, I guess, for a survey to the members of the council about what they feel about the mayoralty. And again, once we've got all that information together, we can meet again and try and finalise a report to bring back to this committee.
Thank you for that. And then
any questions, I guess I'll take any questions.
I'll take a question at the end.
Okay.
And Councillor McGarry, do you mind giving an update on the DFG scrutiny review?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. Yeah, we met as a group. There was myself, Councillor Beach, Councillor Chowdhury and Councillor Grosvenor. We met with Rachel Little, who obviously gave us far more detail following the report that was taken to each group last month. Obviously, we've got a couple of sets of fresh eyes looking at this report, although it's my opinion that maybe we can run with the report that was given to us via Rachel and probably meet again between 6 and 12 months just to have a re-look at it and see what progress has been made following that report. I'm open to comments on that, but I do feel that until we've seen what progress can be made, we're just going to keep asking the same questions. And I think Councillor Chowdhury and Councillor Grosvenor have been in this scrutiny now long enough to have a full understanding of where we're at. So I'm obviously open to opinions of the other subcommittee members, but I think that would be my decision to leave it 6 months and let's see what progress we make and then pull the subcommittee back just to have a run past it again and then obviously meet with yourself, Chair, and take it from there.
Thank you for that. Are there any comments or questions from commissioners? Councillor Grosvenor?
Yeah, on that one, just for clarification, Councillor McGarry, when we met and we had a Zoom meeting about DFGs last week, certainly one of the things we felt we needed to do was to invite Clint Dove into a meeting of this scrutiny committee to raise questions with him about their performance on DFGs. Surprised that's not been mentioned tonight. I just want to understand why that's not been mentioned from yourself this evening.
I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, we can still do that and we can still run with it. I just feel like that, you know, we've got this report in front of us. You know, I think it's a very detailed report. I think we've made a lot of progress while you've been being in the subcommittees anyway. If you want to meet, that's absolutely fine. I've got no problems in carrying on with it. I just wanted to see what we could do moving forward. But obviously, Councillor Beach and Councillor Chowdhury are here as well. Welcome their comments.
Councillor Chowdhury.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with what Councillor McGarry is saying. I guess in terms of allowing more time to see how this pans out. But I think what we have identified is that there is a blocker somewhere along the line, which kind of involves Trent and Dove. And I think, yes, I think there is scope to look into what can be done, and certainly how, as a council, we can actually get them to come along with us in terms of delivering the DFGs more efficiently and effectively. So there is that aspect. I think it will do no harm in actually looking at that. And we did identify that, and I think the council and certainly our officers would welcome that as well.
I'm quite happy to carry on with it, Chair, then, if that's the way councillors want to go. And, you know, we can bring Trent and Dove to the table and just see what their opinions are with regard to DFGs. Yeah, I'm absolutely fine with that.
Thank you, Councillor McGrain. Councillor Grosvenor?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm suggesting is, you know, we do review it every 6 months, but, you know, invite people into this committee to have discussions with us. And the other, somebody's got to look, there we go. And we invite people into the other committee to have discussions with us, people from external organisations to answer questions and queries we've got about functions that, you know, impact people in this borough and people in our wards. And I absolutely believe that we should have Trent and Dove into us anyway to discuss with us how they run DFGs, and we can question them on that. And I don't think that would preclude, you know, a review being delayed for 6 months if we invite Trent and Dove into this meeting to come speak to us. I think we should do.
Thank you for that. I've had an interview with members of the subgroup to arrange that, if that's what we think is right, to invite them along to one of our future meetings. Are there any other comments or questions? Right, Councillor Hudson.
Yeah, are we saying that we've identified a possible blockage to DFG? And if that's the blockage, then we need some answers. You know, I was scrutiny chairman for 2 years, so we've been discussing this time and time again. And every year we come back, and Councillor Sankey quite rightly says, well, we've still got, you know, 1.5 million, 2 million, we haven't split. So we need to find out what is the blockage and get it done. What I am conscious of, though, with the COVID situation that we have now, if things don't improve in the new year, is that going to be, you know, an excuse that, you know, we're able to go to people's houses and carry out the work? So we've got to balance it a little bit. I do understand that. But, you know, we need to find out what is this blockage and get it sorted. Thank you for that. Any other comments or questions on any of the reports? Councillor McGarry?
Yeah, if I can just add to that, just to answer Councillor Hudson's comment. It isn't just when you actually sit in one of these subcommittee groups, it isn't just about Trent and Dove. It's also the residents that can be a blockage as much as anything else. So, yes, it's interesting that we get Trent and Dove round the table, and that's, I'll be prepared to actually do that, because that was something that was identified. But that is just one element that was identified. And I think from our point of view, Rachel came to the groups with a very good report. We're making some progress. There is that possibility that the new variant will push us back yet again. But I'm happy to continue to meet.
Thank you for that. Any other comments or questions before I move on to the next item?
No.
Okay, so item 11 then, so the scrutiny review programme. So with the completion of the waste management review now, we're down to three review programmes currently in progress. We believe the review into the mayoralty, we should be able to bring a near complete, if not complete, report to our next meeting in February. At which point then we will select another topic to review as a committee. We currently have a review into the parking and the parking app that is due to be revisited. One from the previous report a year or two ago, which had that as a recommendation, but also then in line with the extension of the contract renewal. So that is one that we could potentially look at. But again, as I mentioned at the last committee, I would welcome any comments, suggestions or thoughts from any councillors that they have either here in terms of value from the areas where we should review, or again after the meeting via email or even there. So if you could all have a think of what you'd like to review and bring to the table there, we will be selecting another topic at our next committee meeting. Any comments or questions on that before I move on? No. So item 11, the public executive decision records. So you have all received a copy of these. Are there any comments or questions on them? The only two pieces I have, just from my side, as a point of clarification for the committee, is that in regards to 368.21, which is the decision there is to continue with the council's current scheme with no revisions with effect from the 1st of April 2022. Just to make clear that that is in regards to the council tax reduction scheme. And the other one of note in the report is that the links currently on all of the EDRs to go to the actual decision itself aren't working, but they will be fixed and updated on the website, I believe, as well. So those are the only two comments and points of clarification from my perspective. Are there any other comments on any of those? In which case, then, we will move on to item 13, questions, and we have received no questions prior to this meeting. So item 14, the date of the next meeting is Thursday the 10th of February 2022, at which point then I will move that we go into the private part of the meeting. I therefore move that in accordance with section 184 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting as it is likely, in the view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda. So I'll just wait for Monica to end the recording.